Hello, good evening, brothers and sisters here and at homes. I think this building has some special connection with me. When the first Saturday Wednesday meeting took place in this building, I was the one who preached, and after the lockdown, when we are having our first meeting, I am here to preach.
Yeah, amen.
So I don't know why the opening of this building always goes to me. There has to be something very special about it. And I'm so glad. We are continuing our devotionals from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. In the month of January, I started Beatitudes, and the first time I looked and searched, and I learned so much in a different way. Well, this is the beauty of the Word of God. You study one thing one time, and you learn something. And you study the same thing after sometimes, and you learn something. And I believe this is because every time you read your Bible, you read it with different need. The Lord knows your need, and He teaches you from the passage which you are reading according to your need. So I'm so excited. I'm so glad that the Lord guided me to do this study. So let's read our passage, and then we'll start. Matthew chapter 5, starting from verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse number 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse number 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse number 8, which is we are studying today, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray and ask the Lord's guidance. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we are here in your presence, and we commit our thoughts, we commit ourselves to you. We pray that you help us not to get distracted. Help us to hear your word and learn from it, and help us to learn and apply it. There are many times when we hear your word, we learn it, but we forget to apply. Help us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Every time I say that, this is the most famous passage of the Bible. And if it was not, now it has become, because we are studying it for the last many months, so it should be famous to us, familiar to us. But I always say that there are some things we need to remember, we need to understand before we study Beatitudes. And the first thing is, I was supposed to click. Oh, okay. Thank you. Was it my effort or yours?
We'll find out
soon. Okay. Okay. So whenever you read Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, 10 verses from 1 to 10, there are some things we need to keep in our mind when we are studying them. And I think the first one is this. that they are not commandments. They're not 10 commandments. Like we have 10 commandments in the Old Testament, they're not 10 commandments. And the second thing, they are not evangelistic sermons of Jesus Christ. Jesus preached evangelistic sermons, but beatitude is not the evangelistic sermons. In chapter 4, chapter 3, he did preach evangelistic sermon when he was preaching about the kingdom of God. But when he started teaching beatitude, that was not evangelistic. Now, I am not saying that we cannot get evangelistic application from these beatitudes. I'm saying that the purpose of beatitudes is not evangelistic. It is characteristics, I believe. When Jesus finished his sermon about the kingdom of God, then he started teaching and telling his listeners, okay, this was the message of the kingdom of God. Now, if you belong to the kingdom of God, these are the characteristics you have to have in your life. In other words, this is how the kingdom people look like. So if we belong to the kingdom of God, we ought to say, I am poor in spirit. I have hunger and thirst for the righteousness. I mourn, and I receive the comfort from the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not even an optional lifestyle, because it's the kingdom characteristics. So it can't be optional lifestyle. So Jesus is teaching the characteristics of his disciples and the people who belong to the kingdom of God. Now, with this, I would also say that Jesus himself lived all these beatitudes. And if he has not lived them, he would not tell us to go and live them. Another thing, he lived them and they are possible for us. And before proceeding on, I would like to say that my devotion for today is 80% disappointment. 80% disappointment. Last week, me and Brother David spent some time together, and I was sharing with him that I am thinking about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I was telling him, this is one of the most difficult beatitude of Jesus Christ to understand. And if you cannot understand something, you cannot apply it. So in order to apply it to your life, you have to have full understanding of it. So how did Jesus live it? The first one was, blessed are the poor in spirit. Or who can be more poor in the spirit than Jesus Christ? The Bible says that he is equal to God. He left his heavenly throne and came to earth, and he emptied himself. He became, even though he was equal to God, he became like a man. And he lived the life of a human being like you and me. He got hungry, he was thirsty, he was mocked at, and he was beaten. All kinds of problems the human being faced, he faced, fully man and fully God. He emptied himself. And the second one is, blessed are the mourn, though they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I mean, Jesus mourned. You remember he mourned when he looked at Jerusalem? And the severe kind of mourning when he was in Gethsemane. I mean, he was praying in agony, and his sweat was dropping like the drop of blood. And he received the comfort. The Bible said that his heavenly Father sent an angel to comfort him. And the third one was, blessed are the meek. Who can be more meek than Jesus Christ? I mean, he said, I can't do anything except my Father tells me to. And he said, I can't say anything except my Heavenly Father tells me to. He lived all these Beatitudes before he expected from his people. And then it says, blessed are the hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Well, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God. He said, this is my food. Not the physical food. He said, my food is to do the will of God. And then it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Jesus, he showed mercy in a perfect sense. Well, I can say I am merciful. But problem with me is this, that somebody has to create mercy in me. Well, Jesus doesn't need somebody else to create mercy in him. My mercy comes out when I see somebody crying, somebody in problem. Jesus had perfect mercy. Highest form of mercy was this, that he brought the dead people to life. People who were in hell brought them to the kingdom of God. That was the highest form of mercy. But when it comes to blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is something I can't understand it. Both of these things, they are impossible. 100% impossible. Because when Jesus says pure in heart, he doesn't mean 99.999999999%. He doesn't mean that. He means 100%. That's his standard. And we can't meet his standard. We can't meet. So, there are two impossible things here. Two impossible things. And first one is pure in heart. It's impossible. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 9 says, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sins. Who can say? Nobody can say. Now think for a second. Think about your entire life. How old you are? 50%? 50 years? 60 years? 70 years? Was there a time when your heart was pure just for 1 second? Well, you might say, maybe when I was praying. No. Or maybe when I was reading my Bible. No. Or maybe when I was sleeping. No. When you sleep, you dream bad things. Right? So, this is impossible. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 20 says, surely there is not a righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not a single man. There was one, Jesus Christ. But no one else. And then Psalm chapter 51 verse 5 says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my sin my mother conceived me. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Job chapter 15 verse 14 says, what is man that he should be clean? And he that is born of woman, that he should be righteous. What is man that he should be righteous, clean, or pure heart? And you remember when the temple was built, Solomon, he was dedicating the temple. And he was praying. In his dedication, he prayed. First Kings chapter 8 verse 46 says, "And if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not." There is no man that sinneth not. 100% purity. All times, in all seasons. That's the standard. Okay, what is the second impossible thing? They shall see God. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Well, now just think about this. If the first one is impossible, you cannot think about the second one. Because you can't see God if you're not pure. I mean, He's holy God. How can we see Him even if we have slightest sin in our life? And we should also know that sin doesn't have size and form. And sin is not limited to actions. Jesus said, if you thought, you did it. And even sin in thinking contaminates our hearts. It makes our heart dirty. Impossible. You remember Moses, he was up on the mountain. The only person I can think who was in the fullness, full presence of God. There was God's presence to its full measure. Conversation is going on. And he says, "Show me thy glory. Show me thy glory." And God said, "No. No man can see me." Exodus chapter 33, verse 20 says, "Thou canst see my face, for no one will see my face and live." No man will see my face and live. Why? Because man is a sinner. He can't be pure. He can't be clean enough to come face to face with God. And there are examples in the Bible. There were people who saw angels and they were terrified because they thought they have seen God and now they are going to die. You remember Samson's mom and dad, Manoah? The angel of the Lord came and he gave them guidelines how to keep the child, how the child will be born and how they have to take care of him. And when the angel of the Lord was left, Manoah said, "Surely we are going to die." The wife said, "Why?" And he said, "Because we have seen God." And you remember Jacob? He lived many, many years with his uncle, Laban. And the Lord spoke to him and he said, "Now it is time for you to leave and go back to your father's land." And he said, "Okay, sir, I will go." He packed everything. And on the way, he met God. The Bible said he wrestled with man and God. And when his experience was over, he said, he named that place Peniel. Because he said, "I have seen God and my life is preserved." Human being can't live if they see God. So what about these words? Pure in heart, they shall see God. There is a promise. There is an assurance. I mean, the words of Jesus can't be wrong. He doesn't make jokes. And he doesn't give false hopes too. When he says something, he means it. So what does it mean, pure in heart and seeing God? Well, before we go any further, let me ask another question. Why would Jesus say pure in heart and not pure in intentions? Why pure heart and not pure mind? Why pure heart and not pure thoughts? Why? Because head to toe, you have to be pure. Your deeds and words, everything has to be pure, right? Well, when you look at the Bible and when you search word heart, it always represents the center of your life, the center of all your activities. I mean, God said, here is the greatest commandment. Love thy God with all thy heart. With all thy heart. And Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 16, God spoke to his people and said, follow my commandments with all thine heart. With all thine heart. And Jesus was asked a question, Master, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So the heart is the center of all the activities, spiritual or emotional or whatever you do. It always comes from the heart. There are some other things also in the Bible about heart, which could be discouraging. For example, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things, exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? And Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3, it says, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun. There is one event unto all, yea, also, the heart of sons of man is full of evil. Full of evil. And when Jesus was talking about heart, he said, from within, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed, fornication, thefts, murder, adultery, coveting, wickednesses, deceive, lasciviousness, an evil eye, railing, pride, foolishness. All these things proceed from within, and they defile man. Wow. And this is the thing the Lord is demanding, has to be pure. Pure in heart. Well, I told you this is going to be very, very disappointing. So how are we going to see God if we can't be pure? So let's ask some questions. Well, the first question is, what pure in heart is not? And then we will think about what pure in heart is, actually. Well, the first thing is, pure in heart doesn't mean living a sinless life. It doesn't mean living a sinless life. Because you can't. No one can live a sinless life. Even the Buddhist monk, they go and live in the caves for many, many years, just meditating. They also sin. No one can live a sinless life. And pure in heart does not mean living a super spiritual life. Super spiritual life. Always keep your clothes nice, white robe, and looking holy people. That's not pure in heart. Because in Jesus' time, people looked more holier than our day. Yeah. They looked more holy than us. Okay. It is not living a strict religious life that you have 365 rules to follow, 660 rules they have in Old Testament, more than 660 rules. That's not pure in heart. Because in Jesus' time, there were people who could claim, I have obeyed 500 laws, 550. Somebody would raise his hand. Oh, I did 600. But Remember, God's standard is not 699. It's 100%. Okay. It's not life ruled by God. It's not pure in heart doesn't mean leaving the society and living in a cave, hermit. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this word, hermit. There are people who leave the society, the people, and they just go and live in the jungle, so they can meditate and they can stay away from the sin, but they can't. So what pure in heart is, if it's not living sinless life? Well, before I say something, let me give you a suggestion. My suggestion is this. Go home and read James. Go home and read James. And second suggestion is mark every verse which has the word double-minded. Because to me, the purity of pure in heart means living single-minded life for Christ. Single-minded life for Christ. Let me read you a few verses from the Bible. First one is James chapter 4 verse 8. It says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James chapter 1 verse 8 to 6 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Double-minded. Psalm 119 and verses 113 to 115, it says, I hate double-minded people. But I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. God hates double-minded. God hates double-minded. And this is the expectation of God from us. If living a sinless life was possible, he would demand from us. Do you know that there are things which we cannot do, God has already done for us. We could do nothing for our salvation. So he sent Jesus Christ. He didn't say, go ahead and do it. He said, okay, I will make arrangement for you. So he sent Jesus Christ for our. And his expectation has never been changed. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 3, it says, and Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroths from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hands of Philistines. 1 Kings chapter 18 is very famous. You remember Elijah fighting with the prophet of Baal? It says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They were just quiet. And I just assume, because they were quiet, because they wanted to have both of them. They were happy with God and Baal. The Lord said, no. I need single-minded people. Single-minded. And when Jesus was teaching, he said, no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. He says, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now go ahead and read this verse again. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. When Jesus said, master, he was not using the word which is ordinary use for teacher or the boss. He used the word kurios. Kurios means God. This is the same word which Jesus used when he was telling his disciples, you call me Master and Lord. You do well because I am. So when Jesus was saying, no man can serve two masters, he was actually saying, no man can serve two gods. No man can have double mind when he's following me. I believe this is one of the reasons why he rejected one of the person who came to him and said, Lord, allow me to go and do some things at home, and I will come back and I will follow you. Jesus said, no, this is not possible. Single-minded. Pure in our heart means single-minded. Somebody defined the meaning of pure in heart, and he said, pure in heart means to will one thing. He didn't say what that one thing was, but I believe that where that one thing has to be Lord Jesus Christ. At all time, in all seasons, good or bad. And that's pure in heart. In the beginning, I said that Jesus lived all these beatitudes for us. So when you think about single-minded, what is there any Bible verse which says Jesus was a single-minded person? Now don't think about the divinity of Christ. He's a fully God and fully man. Think about his humanity. As a human being, was he really a single-minded man? I'm going to show you one verse. This verse just blew my mind. Just read this, what it says. It says, I give my back to the smiters and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I shall not be confounded. Therefore, have I set my face like flint. Now, how many of you have ever seen a flint? You have seen? It is the hardest form of a rock. If you rub it with the steel, it sparks. It sparks. Now, when I read this verse, it gives me a picture of Jesus just going single-minded, following the direction towards Calvary. Making your face like a flint means you are determined to do something and you're not going to, nobody can stop you, not even steel. Not even steel. And the same imagery is picked up in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. It says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face towards Jerusalem. Isn't that the perfect example of being single-minded? He lived, and then he told us, now you can live. Go ahead and live this. Pure in heart is being single-minded for Christ, living a life that is single-minded. Well, now, pure in heart is understandable, right? That means the second one is now possible, right? They shall see God. Now, pure in heart is possible, so we can see God, right? But my question is, when? When? If I ask you, when are you going to see God? I'm not asking about your death date, right? This is not my question. But let me say this as clearly as I can. If you cannot see God now, you can't see him then. If you can see him now, you can see him then. And if you can't see him now, you can't see him then. Why? Why do I say that? Because he has already shown himself to us. And if we don't see him now, then we won't be able to see him. If you cannot see him now, you can't see him then. There is no point. He has shown himself. God is seen in Jesus Christ much clearly, very clearly, 100%. If you want to see God, just see Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says that he is the brightness of his glory. It says he is the expressed image of his person, which means exactly, 100%. And John chapter 1 verse 14 says the word was made flesh and he lived among us. An interesting verse, John chapter 14 verse 9. Philip said, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus said, I have been with you for a long time. You don't know me, Philip? What does this word of Jesus gives you? What is the impression of these words? When I was thinking, I thought, well, it is possible. Many people can live with Jesus and still not know him. Many people, they saw him physically, but they didn't recognize him. And Jesus is actually complaining him. If I was there, I will take it as a complaint. Hey, you living with me and you don't know me? And he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We see Jesus, we see God in Christ. I wouldn't ask you to go out and see God in his creation, even though he is seen in creation. But if any atheist comes to me, I will ask him to go and look, see the creation. And God will be seeing you. You will see God in creation. But for you and me, he has shown himself in Christ fully. Okay, the second one. God is seen in our circumstances every day. Every day. Just second last week, Brother Jamie was preaching his testimony, how he was led by the Lord to Spokane Baptist Church. And after that devotion, I was talking with Sister Nancy. And let me quote what she said. She said, I look back, I look right, I look left, and I can see God. And these words just came, they just light up in my mind. I thought, yes, this is what I was thinking about. We can see God in our circumstances as a believer. If we cannot see him now, we cannot see him then. Genesis chapter 45 verse 8 says, "Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me, but God." This is Joseph speaking to his brothers. He said, it's not you. God was setting up the circumstances so that I could be here at this time. God, in the circumstances. Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, "And we know that God causes all things." He causes all things. And all means all. Even if you think those things are bad for you, they are still included in all. He causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It is very much important to see him now. To accept Jesus Christ as Lord, and after that, trusting him and seeing him in our circumstances. Now, as a believer, I can 100% surely I can say I am not an accident. I am not an accident. I am here because the Lord was causing all things for my good. He was preparing all the circumstances. The problem is this. When I was going through all those circumstances, I didn't know if God is working for me. When I came out from those circumstances and I looked back, wow, yes, this is God. I was late, but at least I saw him. So this is you and me. We see Jesus. We see God in Jesus once, and then we see him every day in our life. Every day. Application. The goal of our life is to see God. You can have many, many goals. To finish your Bible in a year, to pray 3 times a day, do your devotions, everything. But ultimate goal is to see God. In Jesus Christ first, and then in our everyday life. God bless you.